You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
I make no bones about not understanding the Big Bang Theory, other than in the most broad and generic of terms, but basically what I know seems to make sense to me as the origin of the universe. And there have been times when I have thought to myself, what exploded, you know? What released the energy that led to the Big Bang, which led to the formation of the universe, which led to the formation of the planets, which led to life, which led to you and George and Lexi? And then I give up because it makes my brain sore. And our next guest, Alistair Wilson, a philosopher who focuses on research in metaphysics and philosophy of physics, epistemology and the philosophy of science, got a question from an Australian. His readers ask him big questions, and Peter's big question was, where did the material come from that created the Big Bang, and what happened in the first instance to create that material? And the answer to that question, I thought, was one of the most interesting things that I have read in a while. So I'm absolutely delighted that Alistair Wilson joins us now from the University of Birmingham via Zoom. Alistair, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Because, I mean, it's a sort of question that you want to shy away from because, well, that I would want to shy away from because the answer is so difficult. What led to the Big Bang? What came first? Can something come from nothing? These are questions that are quite easy to answer theologically because, well, God created it all, and it's easy for God to come from God because God is God. So it's possible for God to always exist. But when you step down onto the plane of science, it becomes a very different thing.
Well, I mean, I want to ask you a little bit perhaps about how easy it might be with God. I mean, if God can come from God, why can't the Big Bang come from the Big Bang? I mean, where the Big Bang comes from is a question which at least seems to presuppose the idea that there was a time before the Big Bang, and then something happened, and the Big Bang happened. But the straightforward way to physicists think about it is that there wasn't any time before the Big Bang, because time starts along with the Big Bang. So there wasn't any time before it for there to be anything there to cause it. Any cause would kind of have to come from outside space and time. So maybe God could be that cause. Maybe there are other things outside space and time that could be that cause. Or maybe it doesn't, the kind of thing that just doesn't need a cause.
But then we have to completely, lay people, perhaps not theoretical physicists, have to rewrite the way they understand the world, because things always begin and we're moving towards an end of this universe. The scientists tell us that we are slowly expanding towards an end. And I really struggle to understand how something can just be without being brought into being or coming from something else.
Well, I mean, it's easy to understand in a sense why we might find that sort of thing hard to understand, because we're the kind of creatures that live in a world that has fairly regular cause and effect in it. Things are reasonably predictable. But that's, from a kind of cosmological point of view, a kind of curious feature of the epoch we happen to live in. There were periods close to the Big Bang, perhaps, where there was cause and effect. And I talk a bit about that in the article, where kind of before and after kind of even those ideas start to break down. And at the very least, there can be kind of events with cosmic significance that don't have any obvious, necessary or sufficient cause for them. So in that sort of situation, we can't expect that our kind of natural belief, the things that we find plausible or easy to understand, can automatically be extended to these extreme scenarios that are totally unlike anything that we were kind of equipped to deal with by our education, by our evolution, by the kind of creatures that we are.
Yeah, I mean, which is why I've left alone, why I have said to myself in the past when I've been tempted to ponder this matter, if it is possible for God to exist without having been created, then it is surely possible for the building blocks of the universe to exist without having been created. But to properly understand that, you really do need a new language. And your article tells us that physicists are trying to explain this, that there are theories which are using our language, the English language and the language of physics as we know it, and the language of physics which is being theorized for the first or the second time, to come up with answers as to how something might come out of nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting you talk about language, because, I mean, connected to the point I made about our intuitions, our natural beliefs being not necessarily equipped to these extreme scenarios, our language might not be equipped to it. But what physicists have found by the kind of immense success of physics and cosmology, I mean, the enormously accurate predictions, ridiculous, like 18 decimal place accurate predictions that physics can make, there's no accident there. And the language of physics is mathematics. So if you really want to understand the origin of the universe in the kind of the terms that the experts do, you need to learn a lot of mathematics. English work by itself won't do.
Can you translate some of the mathematics into English that I and my listeners can understand to offer perhaps the most intriguing theory as to what happened before the Big Bang?
I've tried to in the conversation article, which I'd encourage your readers to look up. But here's roughly how it goes when you start tracing back. You can go right to the very beginning. You can go to right after the very beginning of the universe, right after the Big Bang, and our theories describe things really quite well. But as you get closer and closer, the first kind of few seconds after the Big Bang, a whole lot of stuff happens compressed into an enormously short period of time. And there's a lot in that first few seconds after the Big Bang we don't understand so well, and especially the first kind of fractions of a second. The universe then looked really unlike how it does now. It was very hot, very full of energy, and right at the extreme, space and time as we know it didn't even really exist at all. And one idea that I talk about in this article is by Roger Penrose, a very distinguished British physicist, recently awarded the 2020 Nobel Prize for physics for his contribution to cosmology. One of his more speculative, more radical, more exciting ideas is that the universe might be part of a much larger repeating cycle. And it's not just any old repeating cycle. It's a cycle where the Big Bang and a completely cold, empty, lifeless universe are linked in a very surprising way. So you talked, John, about the idea that there will be an end to the universe. But like in some sense, physics doesn't think there will be an end to the universe. As far as we can tell, it will expand out forever. It will get emptier and emptier, but time will continue to kind of tick along. But if you kind of press the fast forward button and fast forward to infinity, that's what Penrose was imagining you do. You kind of, once you've got the universe that's almost dark and empty, you fast forward to it being completely dark and empty. And he's found a mathematical similarity between that totally dark, empty universe and the Big Bang itself. And just maybe our Big Bang was also the kind of complete empty residue of another universe. Maybe it's even the empty residue of our own universe in the far future and the cosmic loop. So there's lots of these sorts of options on the table. And physics really is still just beginning to decide between them.
Alistair Wilson, thank you very, very, very much indeed. There were large parts of that I was understanding the English, but not really following the concepts. And I think that's probably true of many people. But I hope that you enjoyed listening to that as much as I did. And go to the Conversation website and just search on their website for Alistair Wilson, and it will take you to the article which prompted our discussion.